Hello there, everybody. My name is Sophie Aldred, and I had the enormously great pleasure of playing the character of Ace in Doctor Who. And I would like to just remind you that you are listening to Gallifrey Public Radio. It's not private, it's public. And it means that you, the public, can listen to this Gallifrey Public Radio. And I'm very honoured to be on it and interviewed by it. So I hope you really enjoy the interview with me and all the other amazing stuff that they put out. And thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting Doctor Who all these years and for all this time. Because without you, Doctor Who wouldn't be the show it is today.
I'm Chris from the Starling Tribune, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host. Check out all the other great podcasts at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Dialed into Gallifrey Public Radio. We're a podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of everything in the Doctor Who spectrum. Join us for weekly discussions ranging from Hartnell to Whittaker and well beyond. Your hosts are Jay Whitten.
I choose Death by Scotland.
Keir Hansen.
Arun, Arun, Arun.
Charles Martin.
I got their first album, The Salty Butter.
And Haley Malley.
I used to be right next to a train track.
We travel through classic and new Who, explore the extended Whovian universe, and play a few games from time to time if we're left unsupervised. Oh, and a word on spoilers, we do discuss recent news, content that has been officially released, and the occasional interesting rumor, but don't worry. If we look too far into the future, we'll give you fair warning. Welcome to episode 314 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where immense power lies within these mysterious crystalline objects. It is the return of Spearhead from space. No, wait, it's the key to time. It'll come to me. Just give me like 10 episodes or so and I'll get it. I'm Keir.
I'm Jay.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Charles. This week we close series 11 with a band, a blue box, and a baddie we wondered might be skulking around somewhere or some when. In the Battle of Ranskor Avkolos, the Team TARDIS answers a series of distress calls, all coming from one of the few planets the Doctor doesn't seem to know, but comes to terms once again with an adversary. She certainly does.
So we should probably just make sure that we're all kind of on the same page here, that we're not going to use this as an opportunity to discuss the series as a whole. That's actually going to come up in our following conversation. But I wanted to kind of look at this one as a finale. Granted, we felt it came too soon. 10 episodes in, we wanted a few more.
I forgot this was the finale until you started saying that.
Yeah. Okay. So I know where Haley's headed with this question. So did this really feel like a series finale to any of you?
You know, because I knew that it was, it kind of did. Especially the Doctor's last little bit at the end. It was, you know, kind of summing up her mission statement, I guess, or that felt like, okay, we're trying to wrap things up real quick as we go off. It reminded me a lot of, Seven's parting words at the end of his final series. You know, it's that kind of like, you know, here we go into a new grand adventure kind of speech.
Right.
And so that felt a bit series finale for me. But beyond that, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe the bringing back the villain, but that was about it.
The payoff with Ryan and Graham was the series finale for me. That was the end of, or the conclusion of that emotional arc was made it feel like a series finale. But no, it wasn't like universe hangs in the balance. Everything could change. You know, the entire show could reboot right now, sort of series finale, which we've gotten used to over the last 13 years because of Russell T. Davies and then Stephen Moffat. But this was very much like a season finale from the classic series. you know, not, oh, look, here's that monster again we saw earlier. And that was, you know, there, that was the big surprise, I guess. But it wasn't a, yeah, it wasn't a, we must try and top ourselves yet again this year, sort of feeling like you got from the previous eras. And that was okay. I'm perfectly okay with that. My big regret is there's no more episodes coming for a while.
Okay. Haley, what's your take?
Well, like I said, I didn't realize that we had come up on the finale until you started sending out messages to our group chat earlier today. And I was like, oh, I guess that was the finale then. Yeah, so I guess without knowing that it was a finale, it didn't feel like it. Maybe if I had realized it before I watched the episode, I would have gotten more of a finale type feeling. But without that knowledge, I did not.
But it shouldn't have to be something telegraphed. Okay. Yeah. Well, you'd all kind of mentioned points that I wanted to sort of look at, because it seems to be that a lot of folks, I don't know if anybody, if I've really read anyone at this point who's sort of jumping to the fore saying, wow, that was the way to end a season. Granted, Charles, your point about that we've sort of established a baseline with RTD and Moffat, that because they are, say what you will, they are exceptional writers when it comes to stirring up interest at key points. Then that's great. Chibnall is not the strongest writer in the world. He runs a tight ship. He gathers a great crew. He oversees casting well and puts together a great thing, you know, a great product. But are these the end-all be-all stories? And the fact that he wrote or at least had a pretty primary hand in 6 out of 10 of these? But again, I'm stepping all over my own path. I did not want to talk about the series as a whole, but this as a finale, I wanted something a little bit more. Charles, you made an excellent point about the classic era had a lot of those. Well, whew, we dust ourselves off. Wasn't that something?
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's you know,
and on to the next adventure.
They weren't even like, well, that's the end of that journey. You know, they just it literally was very much. You go back to the Tom Baker years, Peter Davison years. It was just another story at the end. And that was it. Mm-hmm. See you soon. You know, they didn't even say that much, but you know, they were just, it'll be back.
Well, we do have another episode coming in like 3 weeks. So maybe this doesn't need to really be a finale with another episode coming soon.
That's my hope.
I'm wondering if that's not the finale that the new series fans are looking for.
Maybe. And we're going to get into this a little further when we get into the new segments, because it mentions that some details about that episode particularly and things looking beyond that, well, way beyond, like 12 months beyond or more. But anyway, as far as you mentioned Graham and Ryan, and they have a phenomenal arc that they were able to complete.
And oh my God, fist bump!
Yeah, okay, you got your fist bump. That's great. You know, that's still a thing, apparently. but the kicker to me, and the fact that we went through this again, it just seems like another instance of, and I will say again, I did like the story.
Yeah.
It just was definitely not one of my favorite stories of the season, because I didn't get enough from the characters I really wanted some things from. This was called the Battle of Ranskorav Kolos, but it was all about the aftermath. So a bunch of crashed ships, you know, a captured crew. Yaz does little to nothing through this entire story. And even the doctor seems to be a little flat through. And it kind of bugged me a bit. I thought this was going to have, you know, you get a little recovery in the last few minutes or so for some of the characters. But again, it just leans really hard on Ryan and Graham, as if Chibnall had some sort of an issue, you know, some therapy he had to work out. And this was his chance to kind of finally say, oh, I've come so far. I don't know. I didn't see enough growth in this. I wanted more.
I was not bothered by it at all, because I know there's going to be another season. And so, you know, so sometimes some people play the longer game, and maybe Chibnall's doing that. He did do it in his previous series. So yeah, maybe. So maybe, but this show is not really about, and this is the thing I think Chibnall is trying to bring to the table anyway, is he's like, this is not about huge emotional revelations. This is about a bunch of friends kicking around having adventures, just like Lord of the Rings, you know?
But it still requires some emotional investment.
Oh, yeah, well.
You need to care about these characters. And I'm worried that to a certain degree, there may be a large number of people out there that want to enjoy these characters more. They want to love them more and root for them more and rank them. And
if I loved Bradley Walsh any more than that, I would have to be buying a ring.
No, that relationship's getting a little creepy. We'll back you off that one. But you know, it's like I even liked in the story. I liked what I was getting from Jody. I liked the fact that she was puzzled by a lot of this. These were some unfamiliar things to her, and she was trying to work these things out. I never quite really understood what was messing with their heads throughout. I did like the idea of finding this power source, well, power source, this harnessing of power by Tim Shaw convincing the Ux that he's some sort of a creator god and realizing that he's got this potential, that they can do all of these things, they can manifest all these things, but they can't improve his body. Can't keep that biology straight. That's a tricky one for telekinesis. But I don't know. Jay, am I alone here in thinking that it's like it got me halfway there and just stopped delivering partway through the story?
No, it's they really set it up like this was, oh, you know, the planet's going to mess with their heads. And the most you see is the doctor being like, oh, I'm getting a headache. and that was the extent of it.
Do the crappy nosebleed effect.
I mean, it really does feel like it was just we need an excuse for the guy we're going to help to not have all the answers up front. And that was the only thing that I could see coming from it. But no, it just did. It felt like there was supposed to be a lot more of this story that just never made it to the script.
I wonder how much more effective this might have been if this could have been the only two-parter of the season.
Oh, I'm sure it would have been better, but again, I guess I'm just not, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not as invested in it or something, but I'm enjoying the season as light, enjoyable entertainment, which is pretty much what I've mostly tried to get from Doctor Who. And in particular, I'd just like to remind people that not every Doctor Who fan is 40, you know? The feedback I've been getting from very young fans is they are eating this with a spoon. They absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. And Tim Shaw.
And yeah. Okay. Then let's unpack that for a second. Because here, I guess maybe it'll be the my sort of last statement on it, and I'll just keep throwing things at you all. I felt this, to me, would have been a rock-solid mid-season break story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it were a 13 or 14 episode long season.
I was thinking the same thing. Like the way it ended, it didn't feel like a finale. It felt like, okay, we're reset to go on towards the end story now. Mm-hmm. Like we've got the group firing on all cylinders. You know, Graham and Ryan are bonded in a new way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I agree with you, Haley, but maybe this is year one of a 2-year arc that we're going to be.
Yeah, we do know. Well, I guess we don't know. It doesn't seem like we're losing the Doctor or any companions now and the next series.
Right. Chibnall had even said in panel conversations that he had like a 4 or 5 year plan.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. He was like, okay, no season arc, but maybe like a 4-season arc is what he's got in mind.
Nobody's leaving next year. Didn't you hear?
No, he's leaving right now.
Oh, he's already gone.
His bags.
Yeah, right.
He changed all the locks. Yeah. He's a real jerk about it.
I felt like this episode tried to be halfway between one of its strong, you know, the strong morality play themes that we've seen all season long, and no, we need more explosions around here. You know, kind of keep lots more running. No corridors. Okay, well, we'll just have to have a lot more explosions.
Well, wasn't you mentioned like this would have been a great two-parter. Wasn't there talk at some point about doing longer run times on episodes this series? Or was that just wishful thinking from
they
fans?
Did. They do. They're 50 minutes now instead of 45.
Except for all the ones that clocked in at 47, yeah, right. Charles. Yeah. But when we were all kind of wondering and a lot of the pundits were stepping forward saying, well, you know, sources say that Chibnall is considering.
I don't trust any of these sources.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Well, especially since with the British newspapers, you don't actually have to have sources. You can just say it.
Mm-hmm. I sourced myself, yeah. But I cleaned up afterwards. I think what it was, I think the reason why it felt like it could have been a great midpoint bump, and Haley, like you say, kind of maybe not necessarily a reset, but just a, all right, we built ourselves up to this point. It was clunky. We were learning each other, you know, who to trust, who can you lean on? Are these two guys going to get along with each other? Okay, they fist bumped. They're going to get along. Great. There's some movement forward with that. Yaz is really comfortable about being able to take charge. She's doing all the action hero heavy lifting. You know, she's the one that takes all the dangerous missions when they all split up. But having Tim Shaw, or I should say, you know, now 3,000-year-older Tim Shaw, as your return villain, is a choice that to me said it at least, and it's one of, I think, the really shining aspects of this particular story. It gave the Doctor an opportunity to really do some battle of words with an adversary mm-hmm. that couldn't just lunge at her
right.
or shoot at her. So they got to sit there and just throw barbs at each other for a while, and that was an engaging sequence. I really liked yeah. that. That gets to some of this. Go ahead.
I was going
to
say the whole subtext there is actually, and we've seen this throughout the season, really, although it's been handled kind of subtly, is a return to that the Doctor's actions have consequences and theme. Mm. And in this case, you know, by not having really fully dealt with him the first time, she made a grievous error that cost lives and paid a very serious price for that.
Do you think that was conveyed sufficiently, that she got a chance to wear that?
In this story it was. In other stories, it was much too subtle. But, I mean, I only say this because, you know, as a longtime Doctor Who watcher, we have seen this before. We have, in fact, there are a lot of elements in this story we have seen before. But sure. the one that I'm focusing on at the moment is the Doctor being called to account for his or her action. Right. Mm-hmm. Or the consequences thereof. And I mean, they were dealing with that back in the Hartnell era.
Yeah.
So this is a return to that. I can tell that, you know, like I wouldn't have known this, but you can tell Chibnall really knows his old episodes.
Yeah.
Especially the Douglas Adams episodes.
Seems to be his sweet spot. Yeah. Let's take a look at one thing that we did actually see some growth and a true arc with, and that is Graham now post Grace resolution and dealing with this vengeance opportunity. That was and Charles, I'm going to ask you to wait for a second because I know you're going to want to jump in and tell us how you feel about this.
No, I'm very anxious to hear what the rest of
it. Yeah. So the initial sequence. When he realizes that there's the possibility that Tim Shaw may be in this building that they're going to be going towards, and Graham goes dark.
Yeah.
Crazy, yeah. Like crazy dark, like the quiet Graham. And you know when Graham goes quiet and stops, you know, chipping on about things. So how did that play to the two of you, Jay, Haley?
I personally love it. I think that Bradley Walsh has been absolutely stellar throughout the whole yeah. series. And the times that he needed to kind of rein things in, he did. I mean, we saw that last week when, you know, he had to make the choice to leave the Not Grace, and very easily could have gone over the top. Just, you know, this was a horrible thing that he was having to do. And he just kind of, it was just a very subtle kind of, you know, the look on his face, you could feel the pain, but he didn't really have to do much with it. So to go from that to this, it played so well into the character that he had built. That was just, I'm not going to throw my hands up. I'm not going to do all this crap. It's just going to, you know what, Doc, I'm going to tell you the way it is, and I'm going to kill this guy. And it worked so well for the way that he had built mm-hmm. this character.
The matter of factness of it, what was really striking. He just, you know, mm-hmm. every time she came back with him, you know, with her rationale as to, you know, you realize if you do this, that's yeah. it has to end. You know, you're not playing by the rule set. And he just, you know, gave a quick nod and said, yep, I understand that, but I'm going to mm-hmm. do what I have to do. I think that was what you saw play across his face as he was working these things through, as a realization hit even earlier when, you know, when we finally get the answer to whose voice it was that she recognized, and you see him just slightly off center frame processing this. I got a chance on the rewatches to, I like watching background characters. I get a kick out of seeing if people are staying within the scene. And he absolutely did that slow pull, and it was really, really impressive to see. And Tosin Cole by the same token, but it was actually something where he split his attention in reaction to the realization of what's going on, and then drawing his attention immediately to Graham to see how he's taking it.
Yeah.
Which I think spoke volumes. He immediately put his own thoughts aside and started thinking about what Graham was feeling and going through and how he was reacting. So, Haley?
Well, Graham is the one who has intentionally avoided dealing with his grief. The reason he's traveling with the doctor, for the most part, is to avoid being at home in the house that he shared with Grace, because he's not ready to deal with that yet. And then he kind of had it thrown in his face last week when he had to deal with not Grace. And then this season, on the heels of that, to be hit with, oh, now you actually have a chance of vengeance. Probably not something he had considered a possibility up until this moment.
Yeah.
So I think his grief may be fresher than Ryan's is.
Yeah. It's on a different level, obviously. Well, but
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan has found a way. And I guess we learned that through the course of the episode, that Ryan has found a way to process it. It may not, it's incomplete, but he's right. He's on a path of being able to say, you know what, with everything that we've gone through, even before, I think he had even sort of come to a better sense of terms with it, or a way to at least be able to start to compartmentalize it and work on it in his own time, in his own way, prior to the whole Tim Shaw resurgence thing, because he genuinely, I'm sorry, he had more time with Grace.
But he's also very used to dealing with loss. He's lost everyone, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually the key to him accepting Graham is, I mean, and you know, this is the thing, it's very underplayed, but man, it's really significant. When you've got somebody who's been hurt over and over and over like Graham, you've been hurt over and over and over like Ryan has, his dad doesn't really care for him. Mom's gone. Nan now died. To let somebody new back in is super tough. And that, you know, to me, that was one of the, that scene in this story in particular was really, really hard. It wasn't just a fist bump. I was making a joke about that, but he said, I love you. And that, man, I don't know. You know, if you grew up on the mean streets, that is a super tough thing, because you are opening you're letting your vulnerables.
Yeah. One of the, kind of just the last passing thoughts I had through this. I like the fact that there were some pulls on to sort of, it wasn't just the Tim Shaw aspect. It was also, because I remember in the Ghost Monument episode, there was the mention of the fact that it was the Stenza were involved in that storyline by reference. Mm-hmm. So when she says, you know, but I've got a ghost monument,
yeah,
you know, and works that back in. That was a nice little fold in. But it leaves me with one remaining question. I'm glad to see that there were a lot of other people online that pulled up on the same thing. And granted, Charles, I know you said we're not technically done, because if you want to consider the New Year's Day episode to be part of Series 11, even though holiday episodes typically sit outside of
they're weird. I file them as the finale. The holiday specials are the finale of that given season, because they occur in the same year as that season, usually.
It depends on when the season airs, because sometimes it's closer to the next season than the previous.
Yeah, but up until this point, they've always been within the calendar year that the series played. And so I always lump them together.
So that being said, we still have one more opportunity to resolve this, but we have not gotten anything that deals with one really interesting avenue that was opened up in that Ghost Monument episode when the sentient dish rags were flying around, or whatever you want to call them, the bed sheets of doom.
The blethering bed sheets. There we go.
And they said, you know, that they were looking through the doctor's head and seeing the timeless child. Mm-hmm. Everybody was hoping to get some sort of movement forward on that interesting little chestnut.
I'm still waiting for them to bring Gallifrey back into real space-time. So,
yeah.
Good luck. It's a long wait, kids. Get comfortable.
Yeah. I don't know if Chibnall feels comfortable. Again, this is going to be more for the series wrap-up discussion, but there was, you know, we opened the floodgates on that. Gallifrey is free and available content to be able to explore. You know, Moffat opened the door back up and said, okay, I got rid of the Time War. I got rid of all the other stuff. I moved you past all that. I bumped everybody out to the periphery so that you've got access here. Oh, I even regenerated a couple of these characters, so you've got those to deal with. Have fun with it. I'm out. You know, here's my time card.
Yeah.
And hasn't been used yet. So maybe the Timeless Child is something that that we'll get as our New Year's Day resolution. I don't know, but I was kind of hoping we'd get a little something on that because it was tied to the whole, to any of the Stenza-related episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That was
maybe it's the hybrid.
Yeah.
Oh, the hybrid. Oh, God.
With Stephen Moffat, you could always reliably count on him to throw up concepts that he was never going to follow through on. And maybe Chibnall will be just as bad. But as you mentioned earlier, although there's persistent rumors and probably will be again next year that he's going to leave after the next season again. if what he said about having a long range plan is true, and that does sound more like him. I don't know him very well, but that sounds more like him. That's something that will be very, very slow unfolding.
Are we done with Tim Shaw? We put him in a stasis chamber.
I hope so.
I'd rather see the other guy come back, the one that Ryan sent back in time.
Oh, yeah, the space Nazi.
Yeah.
Great.
Nazis are great bad guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think we're done with Tim specifically. Members of his race, perhaps? Maybe not. Maybe okay. Chibnall thinks these are his Santarans. Maybe he does. I don't know.
Okay.
I've got news for him. They're not. but they'll always be able to find work with the American Dental Association.
Are all the teeth human looking?
Those are just the ones he likes.
Well, or he kills mostly humanoids. I mean, let's face it, we've run into a very humanoid-centric universe out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just once, you know, we need another.
And a frog.
Arachnos. Yeah. that was impersonating something that would be aesthetically pleasant to the anthropod standing in front of it. all right. Well, I guess all in all, like I said, I'm okay. I'm absolutely okay with the story. I had no problems with it. I thought it was absolutely fine. It would have served its place anywhere within the
within the
sequence of the series. Yeah.
I think it was a great story. The fact that it was at the end of the series, it just almost seemed circumstantial. But on the whole, just as a Doctor Who story, it was pretty good.
Okay. Well,
I think this entire series was trying to get us out of that whole build and build and build and build and build mentality that we had in the two previous showrunners. And
it has to be an exhausting pace to maintain.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking, we will be talking more in this episode about how long it takes to make this show and how difficult it is to make. I think that I frankly think that the correct way to watch a Chibnall series is one story at a time as its own story, which is exactly how it was laid out. So, you know, this isn't mysticism here. Just take them as they come. Did you like that one? Did you like that one? Did you like that one? Okay. You'll get some more later.
Yeah. All right. Another conversation for just shortly. But before we get to that, there's actually one thing, speaking about what's going to be in the year to come. Aside from what's going to be broadcast, there's going to be what's going to be podcast. Mm. So let me explain. As you're going to find out momentarily, 2019 is going to feel a heck of a lot longer than it looks on the calendar when it comes to your content consumption. Granted, you're going to have some great movies along the way. Those are fantastic. We're looking forward to it. There's going to be some great TV series outside of the Whovian scope. Go ahead and enjoy those. There are going to be some great books. There are going to be some great Whovian books. Go read them. Big Finish is going to be cranking out material right and left. Listen to it. Absorb it. Give Nick Briggs and Jason Hay Gallery all your money, as if they don't have it already. Do all that great stuff. We as podcasters have to find things to fill our time and your ears with for, well, a calendar year.
Yeah.
So we will be getting back to our classic rewatch cycle. We're going to make serious headway. Haley, you are going to make it to the sixth Doctor by the end of 2019.
Ooh, I've never seen a sixth Doctor episode. This is exciting.
I know.
I don't think I've seen a fifth Doctor episode either.
What? You're going to have so much more appreciation for Jodie in series 12. Sorry, getting ahead of myself. Anyway, but since we do the classic rewatches on typically, and I will say typically because there are a few exceptions based on convention schedules and things of that sort, we do it on an every other week rotation that gives us, you know, do my quick mental math, roughly 25 to 26 opportunities to be able to do something else. Now, we plan on, as we often do, playing a lot of games. I have a bunch of them that I've been working on. Some are some revisions to ones that we've floated in the past, ones that we've grown to the point of taking them out on the road for our cons, and that's great. Ones that were a complete flaming poo bag and needed to go back and get revised, so I'm working on those to make them slightly less poo baggy.
but not any flames. Less flamey.
No. Well, it's either less poo or less flames. You pick which one you want. Most people would choose to cut down on the poo and leave the pyrotechnics because it's got visual
fire.
Because
fire
is fun.
But we're always looking for new suggestions as well. Some of the past successes we've had have been variations on existing game shows that people wanted to see taken on a Whovian twist, and that's fine. But I'm working exclusively from my comfort set, which is typically 80s to 90s American game shows. Well, you can go back classic to, you know, Password and stuff like that from the 70s and stuff too. But if there are ones that are from the Brit game show circuit or anything like that that you want to suggest and say, you know what, you guys could take this. The construct is really simple. Here's the basic rules of it. Or even if it's outside of televised games, if you've got some sort of a word game kind of thing that you've done, whether it's card-based or, you know, there's actually one, I don't know if anybody, are you guys familiar with Bucket of Doom?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's a basic premise of the game Bucket of Doom is you've got a bunch of cards in this pink bucket that you draw out that have all sorts of weird objects on them, like a cat pelt or a half-used box of paper clips or whatever. And then someone sets up a situation where you are in a life-or-death scenario. It's kind of like a MacGyver.
I was about to say, this sounds like MacGyver. Yeah.
Yep. You have to use all of these stupid objects that you've drawn from the bucket to keep yourself from dying. So I thought to myself, this screams like an 11th hour kind of a, not 11th hour episode, but as if, you know, oh crap, I wrote this script. It's 52 minutes long. I'm at minute 48 and I haven't solved the situation yet. Quick, Russell, type, Russell, type.
You know, type like the wind.
Get yourself... Exactly. So what would be your, oh, crap, get me out of this kind of solution? Mm. So that'll be one. That's just an example of some of the stuff that I'd like to try to branch into. So you listeners, friends, my dear, dear hearts, if you've got some suggestions, send them in to us. Listen in the outro, all the different ways you can get in touch with us, either directly through social media, email, comments on the podcast.
Carrier pigeon.
Episode releases. Carrier pigeons are great. I'm real preferential to owls, but that's just my fandom crossover speaking. But yeah, get them into us because we're going to have plenty of opportunity to be able to play them through, work them out, and see which ones are the most fun. And if they prove to be really fun, we'll take them on the road with us to a couple of the many cons we're going to be attending this year. So do that. And now on, Jay, you think it's about time?
It is time for news.
Let's get newsy. Okay. So,
and now I've got the soundtrack from Newsies going on my head.
By the way, before we get into the news, I just want to say one thing, which is that we're all, I think everybody is pretty disappointed that we're going to have to wait an entire calendar year for more Doctor Who. Yeah, I know. But, you know, actually, somebody pointed out that they never did this in the old, you know, in the old days, meaning 2005. And I had to whip out my calculator and go, I'm sorry, son, but you are wrong. This a nearly a year wait is absolutely typical. This one is, to be fair, this one will be slightly longer than we've had before, but not, well, it's a complicated question. Remember Series 6 and the way it got split up?
Yeah, and that wrangled us too.
Had it not been split up and just ran through, That would have been a 15-month wait between the end of that series and the start of the next.
But we would have taken a mid-season. I don't know. Well, that's another conversation for another time, but it does actually connect.
That I'm just was saying they keep us waiting all the time. This is nothing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons why this has a lot of people question, well, not angry. I don't know if there are some folks who are genuinely angry. They look at it, they look at the calendar, and they go, well, why did you do that? Why did you get me so excited about this? Yeah. You know, the viewers are there, the interest is there, the energy is there, the engagement is there. Let's build and build and build and build and build and wait.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I was saying the last, you know, the last 3 years of Capaldi.
But there is an aspect to this that we have to incorporate, and that is the way Chibnall does what Chibnall does.
Well, it's not just him, as I mentioned. This is absolutely typical for all three of the new series showrunners. They all take it takes you know a year to make a year of Doctor Who. That's the problem.
Yes. But I know that he in particular, because he is a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to the details of the assembly of his series, maybe not – you can argue whether or not it is in the writing, but in the actual assembly, in the pre-production shooting schedule and post-production, he's meticulous. And the quality of what we see and hear shows. But he works on anywhere from a – 16 to 18 month series rollout from, you know, first concept inception and working forward. It was that way with Broadchurch. There were long stretches with Broadchurch, yeah. But that was a series where you were getting five or six installments. Each one was about 90 some odd minutes. It was like this major kind of cinematic kind of experience, but it was just the way that he approached it. I think that's become part of his zeitgeist. Mm. So again, I think If it means a little bit longer of a wait, but we're going to get good product, and you know the product is coming, yes, some people will say, you know, I'm not going to wait around for it. Well, what else are you going to do? You have to wait.
Yeah.
You're going to – when it finally airs, you're going to say, well, it's been a while. Are you going to actually say because it was 3 months longer than you expected to wait? No, that's it.
Yeah.
No, then maybe wait. This is so ridiculous. Now, this sandwich has gone bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm hearing King George in my head. You'll be back, Cindy. But that means that is from the point where we finish the one episode that we will get in 2019 by the skin of its teeth. Our New Year's Day episode. Yeah. I just wanna play with you guys on the title for a minute and just play. What the heck does it mean? So, Haley. Resolution is the title of your New Year's Day episode. Is Chibnall just being punny, or is there something more to this?
I mean, he's definitely being punny, but there could be more to it as well. I don't know. Is it going to be the Doctor's resolution?
Okay.
What's the Doctor going to resolve to do?
Was that the first thing that popped into your head? Was a bit, oh, yes. It's the Doctor's resolution that I resolve that I'm going to also protect Mars as well as Earth or whatever. All right.
Yeah.
Jay?
I mean, you put the new episode on New Year's Day and call it resolution. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to point out that I totally called this. I said, three or four episodes back, I said, there's a reason why it's airing on New Year's Day. And it's because the story centers around New Year's Day. Guess what? I was right. La, la, la.
Well,
didn't everybody say that, though?
Yeah, because he said we've run out of Christmas ideas.
No, that was a made up quote. That.
I quote myself now.
Sources say.
Yeah, and I published it and I put it on the internet, which makes it real.
Yeah.
They couldn't publish it on the internet if it weren't true.
Yeah, there's filters for that. There are filters for that.
It's a series Jay, of what's, tubes, what's, you know.
The editors of the internet wouldn't allow it.
Right.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
What's the resolution?
Jeez, I have no idea. It might be, you know, there's a rumor going around, and the trailer definitely leads credence to it, or lends credence to it, that this is going to be our Dalek episode.
Well,
it definitely seems like...
They technically said we weren't going to see any Daleks in 2018. That was their thing. No Daleks in 2018. Yeah. And we didn't get any Daleks in 2018.
None in series
Producer
11.
Lies. That's rule 5.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's going to be 2019 and it's the Christmas special, yeah. So it's not part of the series.
He was being misleading. Yeah, he was being misleading because we all assumed that the Christmas special was going to be.
He misled us with truth.
Yes.
Hiding in plain sight. It's the best sort of lie.
Hey, Jay, but what was the end of your sentence?
I don't know. I feel like if that's the case, then, you know, the resolution may be, oh, okay, we need to wipe out the Daleks, or we need to do so. It's, you know, I feel like it's going to, I don't know. I almost want to believe that it's going to be the resolution that leads us into series 12, but I have no idea what that could be or what shape it's going to take. But that's my hope.
So waiting for the title card to pop up and, you know, it just says resolution, and then down in little tiny font underneath, of the Daleks. Resolution of the Daleks.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Because it fits the whole of the Daleks motif.
It's better than my idea, which was Prince in the resolution.
Because resolution of the Daleks would be just a bunch of them sitting around in a circle saying, this year I'm going to work out more.
I've got to drop this weight.
All right. Charles, what comes to mind when you think a little deeper into the theme of resolution?
I think this is the season finale you guys were all expecting that one to be, and it wasn't. I think it's this one. I think we're going to – yes, I think this is going to be the big bombasty homage to the kind of Stephen Moffat and RTD finales of years past. But I do think there is going to be some sort – of emotional resolution somewhere along the line. Either the Doctor's going to have a reckoning with her recklessness, or Yaz is finally going to get a real moment. That would be so nice. She's the utility infielder in this, and it's driving me crazy.
I know. They did a whole episode about her family's history, and it wasn't even a her-centric episode.
I know.
She's been doing all the heavy lifting from behind the facade. Yeah.
I mean, she's obviously very influenced by the Doctor, and that has come through. And that she's the one looking out after everybody when the Doctor's too busy to do it. And that's come through. So it's not like she hasn't changed since we first met her. But there's not, you know, I guess there's just something about these sorts of programs where everybody is supposed to get their own spotlight, and Yaz still hasn't really.
Right. Because of the fact you only had 10 episodes, and again, we're getting into next week's series discussion, but because you're dealing with something where even back in the days when you had a pretty loaded TARDIS team, there would be instances where so-and-so would go off with this other supporting character, and they would have 12 minutes of total screen time to go and do whatever they need to do in that episode. Or, you know, what's their face and Hism's guy over there get knocked out by a falling tree and they're out of commission for 15 minutes. So it gives us an opportunity to be able to focus on so-and-so and yo-yo-yo. But the Yaz has not had more than I want to do a supercut and put together all of her speaking lines from this series.
So about a minute 15.
No.
Yeah. She had a few pretty good scenes in the Rosa Parks episode with Grant or with Ryan. Finja,
but we just... Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. $1.45 then.
We
don't really delve into it, and we're not getting any soliloquies from her. That's for sure.
I think that's something I'll say next week.
Yes, because I know Haley's going to say, because we need more freaking female writers. Anyway, okay. Resolution, though. I'm going to float something that I don't particularly agree with, but I just want to see if there is a chance that something very odd may happen. Because as we're going to mention in the next news item where we've got confirmed cast going forward for Series 12, not all the names are necessarily confirmed in the list. What if resolution has to do with Ryan and his dad resolving that issue, and now that he's on great terms with Graham, he exits? Just something to think about. I have no real belief that this is going to happen, but I can see it happening.
Hard to picture it. One of the things that's really struck me about this series is that each of these three characters have decided to join up with the Doctor to run away from something. Graham with his grief, Ryan from his ordinary life and from feeling like he can't quite do things because of his dyspraxia, and Yaz because she wanted to be, you know, large and in charge and was never going to get there in the situation, or at least it was going to take too long. In the situation that she was, one of the first things we ever learned about her was that if she had her way, she'd be running that police. So she has a real sense of law and order there. So all of them are running away from something to try and realize some growth, and they're all getting it. But maybe this is, I can't picture, Ryan is the last one to leave, unless, you know, he kills himself falling off a bicycle. That's about it for him.
Okay. I just wanted to float it out there because it's just, when I think about resolution, I think about some of the things that are some of the largest loose threads right now, and the fact that we spent a couple of episodes mentioning the tension with the dad, and we haven't moved that forward to since the last letter. So, all right.
He could make his peace with his father and then still travel with a doctor, but be traveling with a doctor for different reasons now.
Or maybe take some weeks off. We might start actually seeing the team functioning in twosies every once in a while, that'd be maybe. Nice.
I want to see them go to like one of the holiday planets where things always go terrible.
Yeah.
I noticed, though, that as Jay pointed out, I think it was Jay, pointed out that that Yaz seems to be taking the biggest risks. She's sort of, she's reminding me of Clara a bit. And so I'm going to be that's keeping an eye on her because, you know, Bradley is perfect. And so I don't have to keep watching them all. I'm going to be keeping my eye on her and seeing where that character arc goes. Is she just there for inclusion purposes, or is she actually got a point? And that's what I want to find out in series.
This is definitely what we're going to unpack for the next week. Correct, Jay?
Yeah, definitely. So I do think that as far as talking about this series and then where we're going moving forward, I think those two go hand in hand. So definitely some room to discuss the things that probably should have been included this season, but we really hope for the next one.
And we will do our best to break that down next week in a little more detail. Yeah. But tempered to a certain degree to be not just a matter of what didn't we get this series that we shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Oh no, but that's definitely going to play into the discussion, I'm sure. Just because we can't help ourselves, we're Whovians.
Yeah, no. But we'll look at it. We'll do the grading system. We'll do the episode ranking sort of thing. We're going to do everything sort of holistical because those are bad.
And you won't believe what happens next.
Yeah, people were shocked to learn.
But as far as this week goes, this has been episode 314 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, I already said it once. I'm not going to repeat myself. Don't act like you didn't hear it the first time.
And this is Kier saying, the real shocker to this entire thing was that this was actually the midpoint episode. And you have 10 more coming that they weren't even telling you. It was the greatest reveal in Chibnall's career.
This is Charles saying, I can't remember my name. I used to know before I went outside. I never should have gone out.
And this is Haley saying, Graham, don't the doctor have some pretty specific things to say about killing? Quite specific. She is, however, somewhat fuzzier on the subject of feet.
Nice pull. We'll see you guys next week.
LLZ.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com, tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio, or on Facebook at facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.